Father, we thank you for bringing us here. We hand over the service into your hands. Lord, lead us, inspire us, accept our coming, our praises, our worship offering. Bless us in your presence today. All we will do today, we ask that you take absolute control. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Can we put those hands for the mighty God as we have our seats? You may be seated. God bless you. That's a true worship song. Not daddy way they pamper, God way they give you woto woto. No, that's not what we want. These are songs that never lose their anointing. Songs that have been written hundreds of years ago and are ever fresh. Not the songs of this generation that they sing to make money. We are the bride. We must worship the bride way. You know, there's a difference between the bride and the concubine. That's a topic for another day. Okay, today we'll be looking at something interesting. This is our empowerment month, our year of empowerment, actually. And we've been on a journey of 30 days. 30 days. We've been waiting on the Lord for empowerment. How many of us have been empowered? Not every hand is up. How many of us have been empowered? 30 days journey. Today is day what? 28. Today is day 28. And the Lord will still release his power upon us in the remaining days of this program in Jesus' name. So our Sunday school today will be different. We'll be having empowerment class this morning. Empowerment class. That's what we'll be having this morning. Empowerment class. We'll be sharing with ourselves a few empowerment keys. Brethren, our empowerment doesn't end with fasting and prayer. We've been fasting for the past 28 days. Is that right? Our empowerment does not end with fasting and prayer. There are keys that we must apply. The Lord looked at Peter and said, I will give you what? The key of the kingdom. For our life to be fruitful, for us to be truly empowered, we must also apply certain keys, certain principles, in addition to our fasting and prayers. Are we together? Don't think your empowerment will end with you waited, you passed through the program, you fasted, then you received anointing oil, you said amen to the pronouncement, and you think you are ready. No. There are certain keys we must apply. There are certain principles we must follow so that we shall walk in power. Are we together? In this church, the purpose of this ministry is not to give us fish, but to do what? To teach us how to fish. God told Abraham, I will not only bless you, I will do what? Make you a blessing. Are we together? So we must have these keys. The real power is not in take it, boah, and you fall down. Pastor has anointed me. Let me go and prosper. The real power is in principles of life. Certain principles of working with God that we must follow. Our God has set laws that govern his kingdom. Are you with me? The kingdom that we are called into is a kingdom that is governed by laws and principles. You don't just do as you want in God's kingdom. Success is predictable in the kingdom of God. I can look at a man and look at his lifestyle and tell you where he will end by virtue of God's word. Are we together? So we must know these keys, these principles. For instance, look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Galatians 6, 7 says what? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. God cannot be mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that will he what? That will he reap. Regardless of the anointing oil that is poured upon your head, it is what you sow that you will reap. Regardless of the 50 days fasting and prayer, it is what you sow that you will reap. So we'll share these empowerment keys with us so that in addition to the anointing that God is releasing upon us, we will leave this program walking in power. Now, empowerment key one. We must what? Honor our parents. How many of us want to live a fruitful life here on earth? How many of us want to live a fruitful life here on earth? When you're in church, behave like a child. We are children of the King. How many of us want to be fruitful here on earth? These are the keys to being fruitful. Number one, honor your parents. Throughout these 30 days, we've been sharing these principles with ourselves. But being that this is the last Sunday of this empowerment program, I think some of us that have not attended these programs should hear some of these things so that we will be truly empowered. Brethren, we must honor our parents. Now look at it. Mark chapter 7 from verse 10 to 12. Many of us don't honor our parents. Are we together? Many of us don't live a life in honor to our parents, our fathers and our mothers. For Moses said, it's not Moses that said this, but God, honor thy father and thy mother. Whoso curseth father or mother, let him do what? Let him die. You might not die physically, but you might die financially. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or to his mother, it is korban. What is the meaning of korban? It is dedicated to God. That is to say, it is a gift. By whatsoever you might be profited by me, he says, it shall be free. Verse 12, and you do not allow him to do aught for his father or his mother. Amen. Brethren, if our life will be prosperous, we must not neglect this particular principle. We must honor our parents. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3, he gave a principle of any man that will live long on earth. He said what? Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be what? Can we read it together? That it may be what? That means if you do not honor your parents, it will not be well with you. We just ended year 2022. If I should ask a question, how many of us gave a gift to our parents? It might surprise you that not all aunts will be up. Somebody might be saying, but I don't have a father or a mother, but you have a guardian, or you have somebody that served as, that took the place of your parents and brought you up. If they are still living, it is mandatory for us to honor them. There are some people, as we see in Christendom today, in the Pentecostals, where a man of God is highly exalted, where all offerings and gifts is desired and required by the man of God, and nothing is said about honoring your parents. Brethren, we must live a life of honor to our parents. Don't neglect your parents. There is a promise attached to honoring our parents. Your parents are celebrating their birthday. It's just phone call. Some of us don't even remember. It is honorable for you to take our time and celebrate them. Stop this nonsense of you abandon your parents when they are living, but when they die, you want to throw the biggest burial. Of what use is that big burial ceremony to your mother that is in the grave? If you love me, celebrate me now that I'm alive. Don't wait till I die, then you're going to buy a shebi. You're going to call the best musicians. You're going to call the best caterer. Rent one plot of canopy. Why? Ah, I want to celebrate. You are not celebrating your parents. Even the rice that you cook that day, your mother in the grave will not taste it. Let's change our mindset. The barbecue you will make on that burial day, your father in the grave will not taste it. It is you. It is not your parents that is being honored. It is you. While they are still living, honor them. Bless them. Respect them. So that in return, our pastor has said to us severally that God has made your parents a God over you. God has made your parents a God over you. That is why we must always covet blessings from our parents. Don't forget you came from the loins of your father and you suck the breast of your mother. The pronouncement they make over you, negative or positive, carries power. So we should always be in a position to covet blessings from them. Was Isaac hungry when Isaac said, "My son, go and make me pepper soup so that I will eat and my soul will bless you before I die"? He was not hungry. He wanted Esau to follow a principle: honor your parents. Brethren, so don't just fast and pray. This year, I must prosper. This year, I must progress. I challenge even single sisters in our midst. Maybe you have never bought a wrapper for your mother. Maybe you have never done something good that will cause your parents to sit you down and begin to pronounce blessings. Why not try it? Why not try it? Those believing God for the fruit of the womb, why not bless your parents and let your parents look at you and say, "I was not barren. I bore you. You will bear a child." It goes with heavenly authority. Are we together? We must do what? Honor our parents. Yes, you can show all the empowerment keys. We'll take it one after the other. We must what? Honor our parents. It is a fact of life. If we will be blessed, if we will prosper, if we will succeed, if we shall be empowered to walk in power, we must do what? Honor our parents. Somebody, can you say after me, "I shall begin to honor my parents"? If your parents have died and you honored them while they are alive, that is fine. But if you did not honor them while they were alive, you missed something. Just ask God to forgive you. Are we together? Let's move on. Next key. We must come into partnership with God. Praise God. I hope you know that the power to make money is not you shall be blessed, you shall be rich. Yes, that pronouncement can give you a fish. But what will make you a fisherman that you will begin to make the money, not just one time thing? It goes beyond saying amen to any pronouncement. Many of us are not partners with God in whatever we do. If you must be blessed, if you must live a fruitful and prosperous life here on earth, try to bring God into partnership with you. Try to commit God into partnership with you. How do we do it? Payment of tithes. Many of us don't pay our tithes regularly. We are not faithful in tithe paying. Many of us, we are not faithful in tithe paying. And there is a blessing that goes with it. Payment of tithe commits God into partnership with you. See, I know my Bible to a certain limit. Forget all these unfounded arguments about payment of tithe or non-payment of tithe. There is nobody that is revelated that jokes with the payment of tithe. Some people will tell you tithe is under the law. We are under grace. The fact is, tithe predates the law. Abraham was not under the law, yet he paid tithe. Tithe is what? Tithe commits God into partnership with you. Tithe is like your kingdom tax. You cannot commit God to blessing you when you are not faithful in your tithe. If you are looking at me and say, "Brother, I know they pay my tithes and God, they bless me." Maybe you are working in Jia 1 when you are supposed to be working in Jia 3. Forget it. God cannot be committed into partnership with you when you don't pay tithes. The Bible speaks of, it said, the children of the kingdom of darkness, they are in their own generation wiser than the children of light. Because all of us know that if you are serving Satan, for instance, if you belong to a cult, if the demand of that cult is the blood of a human being every year, you know that you will give it. You cannot say, "I have given for 10 years. I beg. I'm tired." You know the repercussion of it. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, you can see the children of Satan, they faithfully follow the principles of their kingdom. But the children of God, you think the tithe is for the pastor. Pastor, they know they suffer. Now then they chop the tithe is a lie. It is a lie. Tithe is for your own good. I believe if you pay tithe as a child of God, things will not be tight for you. I believe it. God is committed into, how can you be paying tithe from a business? When you pay tithe from a business or a job, brethren, when storms arise in that business, you have a senior partner, God. That is where you can boldly go to him. Father, my business is not moving fine. I am a faithful tithe payer. Daddy, do something. He said it in his word. Challenge me if I will not rebuke the devourer for your sake. But we have Christians that rob God of tithes. See, if you will live prosperously this year, drop, let such character end with 2022. This year, decide to begin to follow the principles of our kingdom so that you can be fruitful in this kingdom. Don't rob God. Tithe payment commits God into partnership with you. And when anything is going contrary in that job or business, you can boldly say, Father, I'm faithful in my kingdom tax. I'm faithful in my tithe paying. You are my partner in this job. You are my partner in this business. Lord, arise and help me. And see God in action. Are we together? Another way to bring God into partnership with you is first fruit. Now, not the popular first fruit. Ah, ministers, this is January, ending of the month, January 28th. This is the best time to receive first fruit. Eh? But we thank God in this ministry, our mumu don't do. Not the one that they'll be saying up and down now in churches all over the world. That the first salary, the first income you make in the month of January, everything is first fruit. Bring it to God. That is a lie. That is spiritual fraud. That is a lie. There's nothing like that. We have been taught the proper way to pay first fruit. Now, there is first fruit in the word of God. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9. What does the Bible say? Proverbs 3 verse 9. Honor the Lord with what? With thy substance. And with what? The first fruit of all thine increase. So, yes, there is first fruit in the Bible, but not the way it is popularly taught. And truly, first fruit commits God into partnership with you over that job or business. How do you pay your first fruit? It is not the first income you make every year. When you start a new business or got a new job, part of the first income you make, you receive from that job or business, you get a sheaf. The Bible calls it a sheaf, a handful, and offer it in honor to the Lord. This is the first fruit of my business, Father. I commit this unto you. That first income, you don't pay tithe from it. What you pay is what? First fruit. There is no percent. If you want to give 90%, fine. If you want to give 10, fine. But as a child of God, if tithe is 10%, if I'm to pay first fruits, then it should be nothing less than my tithe. In fact, it should even be a little bit higher than my tithe. I'm speaking by my own self. I don't know if you understand me. If tithe is 10% and I got a new job or business and I'm to pay first fruits from it, don't forget that when you are paying first fruits, that particular income you are paying first fruits from, you don't pay tithe from it. What you pay is what's first fruit. Then if tithe is 10% and you are to pay first fruits, wisdom should teach you that first fruit should at least be a little higher than tithe. Now, you can ask me, where is that written in the Bible? There's nowhere it is written. I cannot point it out to you. But wisdom should teach you so. It will be wrong for you to pay something less than even that tithe to pay. At least, let it be something honorable to God. It has serious effects, brothers and sisters. These things are the things that bring God into partnership with you. Many of us do our business and our job without God being involved in it. I'm telling you the fact. Many of us just struggle and labor on our own. You use your power. The Bible says labor not to be rich. Riches is not to the hardworking. When God has decided to bless you, these are the principles you must follow. Don't start a new job, a new business, a new line and you eat all your money. You cannot even bring out something and say, Father, I honor you with this. This is my first fruit from this. There are blessings attached to this commandment. There is no commandment in the Bible that is for God's good. All the commandments in the scripture is for our own good. Are we together? We are talking about empowerment. We must be fruitful this year, and you shall be fruitful in Jesus' name. But it's more than saying amen. In addition to honoring our parents, let's bring God into partnership with us. Pay your tithes regularly. Stop being a robber. Stop being a robber. Are there robbers in the church today? If you don't pay tithes, the Bible calls you a robber. Pay it. And I usually say to people in this church, God has done you good to bring you to a ministry that lives and preaches the truth. Your offerings and tithes doesn't go to the pastor's account. Everything we do in this ministry is to propagate the gospel. Do you know that there are ministries that are sponsored by our church? Once we see a true ministry that preaches the truth, a small ministry struggling, there are ministries that are sponsored by our church. There are numerous people on scholarship in this church. We are not the kind of church where the pastor will come and be telling you, I did this, I did that one, I did this, I did that one. But by virtue of my office, I'm privy to certain information. In this church, your money is not given to the pastor. In fact, the kind of pastor we have even uses his own personal money that people bless him with, even adds it to the work of God. So my point is, you have been called to a fertile ground. Make good use of it. Don't fold your hands, oh God, tithe, oh God, first fruit, when you should pay. And tithe should be paid to the storehouse where you are feeding from. You cannot say you are coming to Bride Assembly and you are paying your tithe to Sydney International Ministry. It is wrong. Some of us pay our tithe, but we pay it wrongly, and it is not acceptable before God. Don't be wiser than God. Brethren, let's learn to be children, walk in obedience, and see God bless you in return. Are we together? Let's move on. Sometimes we don't like to talk about this thing because some people will think, you people are condemning these people that are commercializing the gospel. We are not preaching commercialization of the gospel. We are preaching truth. The principles that I'm sharing with you this morning are things that I follow, and I see God bless me in return regularly. Brethren, don't owe God tithes. Repent from church robbery or God robbery. Let me not call you an arm robber. Let's pay tithes and our first fruits. Another key to empowerment is what? You must give to the work of God. Now, this is not tithes. This is not first fruits. This is what I call kingdom investment. Kingdom investment. Brethren, it is shameful for you to say you are a child of the kingdom, and other than your tithes, there is nothing you do financially to support the work of God. It is shameful. If you truly don't have, it is understandable. But no matter how small you have, give to the kingdom work. Invest in God's kingdom. Are we together? Invest in God's kingdom. If you will be blessed, invest in God's kingdom. Why? It is simple. The Bible says, he that watereth will be what? Watered. You cannot be a channel through which God is progressing his work, and then you will become stagnant. Have you ever seen a tap that brings water out regularly? Shook your hand in the tap. Can it ever be dry? Are we together, brethren? Let me receive response from you now. Are we together? Not everything is mystery. Let's learn some keys to help us. Praise the living God. There is promise of the life that is to come, and there is promise of this life. We must be fruitful in this world. We must be fruitful. We must go beyond begging and depending on others. A Christian should be comfortable. Yes, Christians will not be the richest people in the world, but a Christian should be comfortable. It is wrong for us to start living a life where we beg and depend on others. Let's live a life that God makes us blessings to the poor around us. And these are the keys we must follow. No tap that dispenses water regularly can ever be dry. So God cannot be giving you to give to his work, and then you will not have to give. Praise the living God. Don't forget what Galatians 6:7 says. God cannot be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that is what he reaps. If you are going to live a prosperous life, we must give to the work of God. You might not be called to preach. You might not be called to the fivefold ministry, but you have a role to play. Romans chapter 10 verse 16. Can we see it? Romans chapter 10 verse 16. What does the Bible say? It says, but they have not all obeyed. Oh my God, that scripture. Verse 17. Okay, there's a particular scripture how it is worded. Verse 15, not verse 16. Romans 10, 15. See, can we look at this scripture together? And how shall they preach except they be... Brethren, I expected a chorus answer. How shall they preach except they be... So there is what? There is a sending ministry. Brother, you are the preacher. Stay aside. I'm not called to preach. I'm not called to pastor. But I will support your work with my finance, no matter how small. That is the sending ministry. There is a sending ministry. Brethren, don't be financially redundant in the house of God. I said something yesterday and I want to repeat it. Don't wait till you think you are a millionaire before you start giving to the work of God. When we give unto God, it is not like giving unto man. Man will look at the quantity of what you give. Okay, now let me give an instance. Brasoni, please come. Ragbenga, please come. Let me give an instance. Now, let me assume that Brother Sonny is a multi-billionaire. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Calm down. And Brother Benga, you're a multi-billionaire. But let me assume that he's a thousandaire. In fact, let me assume that in his account, he doesn't have more than 100,000. Let me assume. He's a thousandaire. But this one, in fact, if you should calculate all the money that banks are owing him, Central Bank will be begging him. Yes, sir. Now, he gives me a check of 10 million naira. You know, it's nothing to him. Then Brother Gbenga, look at it. Brother Gbenga, I'm in need. You are in need. Okay. Brother Gbenga has a wife and 3 children, and he has just 100,000 naira. My brother, take this 20,000, manage it. Then I go to Brother Sonny. Brother Sonny, my brother, I'm in need, though. You're in need, okay? Take this check of 20 million naira. As a man, who will I appreciate more? No, now, this is practical. Who will I appreciate more? In fact, I won't even remember to call him and tell him thank you. If he even calls me to say, I hope that 20,000 was able to, who is this person disturbing me? I beg. Thank you. But this one, chairman, Ogasa, that is man for you. But do you know before God, his offering is bigger? Why is his offering bigger? God is looking at the value. The Lord Jesus, you may go back, sir. You're a billionaire in Jesus' name. Are you a billionaire in Jesus' name? You may go back. Let's see the story of the widow's mite. Let me refresh your memory with that story. The Lord Jesus stood at the temple, and multitude were bringing their gifts, casting millions, writing check of 20 million. Okay, I will roof this church. How much do you need? 20 million. Okay, let me write 50 million. You can use the change. Maybe you should change your pastor's car. Just take 50 million. Jesus was looking at them. Then a widow came with 200 naira. And the Bible said that was all she had. And she gave it. Even the pastor will not recognize that. I mean, somebody's giving me 50 million. Now 200 naira, I want to see. I'll just say, it is well with you. God bless you. But this one, I will hug him. It reminds me of a video I saw. Somebody brought offering to the pastor, envelope. The pastor said, okay, let me pray for you. He started blessing him. Another person came with bag, brought out phones, brought out envelopes, brought out our currency. The pastor, instead of praying for him, the pastor knelt down and put his hand on his head. I am blessed. The pastor started receiving prayer from that person instead of praying for him. Now, that is what man will do. But the value of that 200 naira is more than the value of that 50 million. Why am I saying this? The little you have, give it to the work of God. Are we together? Don't say, I don't have enough. When we started Bright TV, a TV evangelical support in this church, even up to now, do you know that the monthly limit is 3,000 naira? But some of us can recharge our data up to 10,000 in a month. Is it 3,000 naira that you cannot give? Now, truly, you might not have that money. You don't even have to come to any special account or anything. But whatever you have, say, Father, this 1,000 naira is what I have to support evangelism this month. Give to the work of God. Be part of those that send. It has serious blessings attached to it. I don't say this to boast. Since we started the TV evangelical support in this church, I've been part of the sponsors, the ministry. When it started, I started with the list, 3,000 naira. That was 2011. Then it got to a point, I don't even tick the card anymore. I do the transfer to the Bright TV account. Nobody knows. Why am I saying this? I'm trying to tell you that I'm not telling you what I read in a book. I'm telling you principles that we follow. And I know how God has taken me from glory to glory and is still doing it. Praise the living God. My life is fruitful and I thank God for it. These are the principles we follow. There is no child of God that is special. There is no special child of God. Anything God is doing for somebody, if you follow the same principles, he will do it for you. So don't wait till a prophecy pick you, brother. Your star is bright. I see you as a multi-billionaire. You don't receive prophecy. Me, I did not receive prophecy, but I saw something in Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I have for you. Thought of peace and not of evil. Thought to bring you to an expected end. I know the promise in Psalm chapter 1. It says, whatsoever you do, it shall what? Prosper. So I don't need you to prophesy to me that I'm great first. Mm-mm. Hold your prophecy. Brethren, let's follow principles. Give to the work of God. In this church, we called an offering last year about diesel support. Some of us can afford it, but we are not giving. And I love what a prayer group leader, Brother Uche, did. He knows that maybe some people cannot support up to 20,000 every month. But in his prayer group, he said, whatever you have, even if it's 1,000, every month they do it. They gather it together and send it to support the diesel. You might not have to give all the time, but whatever you have, give to the work of God. There is nothing you do for God that God will not do back to you in double. It is easy to be blessed in the kingdom of God only if you will follow principles. Praise the living God. Let's move on. Time is not on our side. Next key, we must give to the poor. We must what? Give to the poor. Every time, don't be waiting and go to church now. Go and see Dickie when you can help that poor person. Now, wisdom is demanded here because we have Bambi Alas. We have Bambi Alas. It's not Bambi Alas that you should give to. Some people have made begging their career. It is not such people you should give to. They are only outsmarting you. You know somebody is in need and you have the power to meet it. Brethren, do so. Why? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. What does it say? He that gives to the poor does what? Proverbs 19, 17. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. Let's have that scripture, please. He that hath pity upon the poor, what do you do? Brothers, you are not chorusing the scripture with me. Okay, maybe the brothers cannot read. He that hath pity on the poor, do it what? You are lending to the Lord. So you mean God can be my debtor? Hey! Ranoso, did you see that scripture? God can be my debtor. Are we together? You mean that God can owe me? Yes, God can be owing you. God can be my debtor. And I can say, Father, you know you are owing me. Come and meet this need for me. Why? He that acts pity upon the poor, what does he do? You are lending unto God, not to the poor. Not to the poor, you are lending to God. And that you have given, will he do what? Hey, God knows they owe anybody. He's a very good debtor. He's not the debtor that will tell you, my business crashed. My wife is in the hospital. No. When God is indebted to you, he will pay you back. Because it is an assault to his personality. Are we together? It is an insult to his personality. So when you give to the poor, you are giving God an avenue, an open door to bless you back in return. Galatians chapter 6 verse 8. Galatians 6 from verse 8. What does the Bible say? Brethren, let's begin to practice these things. For either, verse 9 and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Why? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Brethren, when you know the needy, especially the needy child of God, especially the needy child of God, and you are in position to meet that need, do it. You are automatically making God indebted to you. Now, somebody might say, I've done it before now. Yet, he said, if we faint not. These principles are not something you do. It's not kalokalo. It's not something you put in this number. It's not lottery. It must become a lifestyle. There are seeds you are sowing. The time will come when you will start harvesting from them. So don't just say you did it once and you not see anything. Then you are folding your hands. I beg, brother, go sit down. What are you saying? No. It's not lottery that you try once. There must be a lifestyle. When the farmer goes to the farm to farm, he sows those seeds. He is waiting for harvest. But between the planting and the harvest, he must water, he must cultivate, he must weed to make sure he has a good harvest. So it must become a lifestyle to you. Brethren, let us give to the poor. Especially that poor child of God. You said it's not in the Bible. Prosperity is not in the Bible. Prosperity is in the New Testament. Two chapters. 2 Corinthians 8, 2 Corinthians 9. All Apostle Paul was talking about was giving. Giving, sowing and reaping. Giving to the poor. Giving. Two good chapters. Go and read it. He called it the ministering to the saints. He said, give to this poor saint so that in return God will bless you. It is in the same chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 6. He said, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. He said, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I'm quoting scripture. So these are things that the apostles preached. It's not prosperity gospel. It is the gospel. Are we together? Give to the poor children of God around you. When you are in position to help, help them. In return, you are doing it to God. You are making God your debtor. And God cannot owe any man. He will pay you back. See something in Psalm chapter 41. Giving to the poor even goes beyond receiving back financial favor. There are things it will do for you. From verse 1, Psalm 41 from verse 1. Psalm 41 from verse 1. He says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. Now, see the blessing. He didn't even say money. He said, the Lord will deliver him in time of. So you mean my helping the poor can bring deliverance for me? Yes. This might be the keys you need. You have gone to mountain year in and year out. You begin the new year with fasting and prayer all the time. And yet nothing is changing. You need to change your approach to things now. Follow these principles. We are still reading Psalm 41. Verse 2 now. Psalm 41 verse 2. The Lord will preserve him and do what? Keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou will not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. Verse 3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou will make all his bed in his sickness. Just because he considered the poor. Are we together? Are we together? We talk of love, 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 love. Love is demonstrated mostly in what? In giving. Love is demonstrated mostly in giving. So brethren, give to the poor. There are blessings in return. Let's move on. Next key. We must bless confirmed servants of God. Confirmed servants of God. Especially the ones that God has passed through to bless you. And on your list, the first person should be your own pastor on your list. Because he cares for your soul. Some of us don't know that there are blessings in return. Each grace, each man of God, minister through genuine servant of God, there is an angel of the ministry that works with him. When those angels are happy with you, they will bless you in return. Instead of blessing the servants of God, some of us add problems to their problems. You gossip them. You condemn them. You speak ill of them. Don't condemn a man until you have stood on the same platform and faced the same test, because you might never know what is going through behind. So don't follow the Facebook nonsense. Facebook has made people celebrities in this generation. Such that if you have nonsense to offer, you can just tune on Facebook and overnight you become popular with your garbage. Don't follow such. Confirmed servant of God, especially those that God has used to bless you. It is not too much to bless them in return. There are blessings attached to it. Matthew chapter 10 verse 41. What does it say? He that receives a prophet, Matthew 10, 41, in the name of a prophet, shall do what? Shall receive a prophet's reward. You mean, I will invite Sister Marachi to my house, and host her, and Professor Sunday, and host them, and they are going. God will show them something. I'm telling you, it's a fact. It is a fact. God will show them something. Because what? It is a prophet's reward. Galatians chapter 6 verse 6. It can't be as if saying that prophets, not in Bible talk alone. We will change our titles to prophets. The prophets receive more gifts. Galatians 6 6. Okay, this one is the teacher now. Prophets, you are not involved in this one. It's for teachers and pastors. Let him that is taught in the world do what? Communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. It is a commandment. God expects you to bless his servant. It is a commandment. It has been abused in this generation. For some of us, we don't know that that is what is working against our progress. You bring a gift to the man of God. Just let him say, God bless you. Just those three words are enough to open doors for you. Not everything answers to fasting and prayer. Not everything answers to fasting and prayer. These principles are more powerful than fasting and prayer. Give to the servants of God that God has used to bless you. Give them. Throughout year 2022, some of us could not bring a gift to the pastor. And yet, every week you are in the church, you are listening to a sermon. You are saying amen to his pronouncement. As in a gift, not even end of the year. Or even, oh, pastor, this is your birthday. I have a gift for you. Don't forget, it is not how big, but the gesture of giving. A sister did something. The sister is in this church. And I love what she did.
She brought a gift to the pastor. You know what she brought? Just a box of chin-chin and an envelope, just 2,000 naira. Now, that is all she has. Let that sister watch her life if God will not bless her in return for that. Don't live your life as if you don't belong to a kingdom or a family. There are keys, there are things you should do in the kingdom of God. If your own pastor, I'm saying your pastor because not everybody is a member of this church, and somebody might be listening to us that is not a member of this church. Your pastor deserves your blessing. And when God uses a minister, a prophet, an evangelist to bless you, go back. Don't just say thank you. Give whatever you can. It is God appreciates it. You are honoring the God that called that person. Don't forget, he's just a servant, a vessel. When you do so, you are telling God, thank you for blessing me through this man. Thank you for blessing me through this woman. It can open doors of blessings for you too. Give to confirmed men of God. Let's go ahead. Number six, empowerment key six. You must be useful in God's vineyard. We saw Psalm 41, and we saw all the blessings that followed a man just because the man did what? Gave to the poor. How many of us have heard the story of Dorcas, Tabitha, in the Bible? You saw that Dorcas died. All the widows and all the church cried, and no, this person, no. What happened? God brought her back to life through the prayer of Peter because of her deeds. What about Cornelius? The angel said, your arms and your prayers have come before God for a remembrance. God showed him the way of salvation. Everything you do, whether good or bad, there is an equal and opposite reaction to it. Be useful in God's vineyard, brethren. Don't come to church and there is no part you contribute. It is our family. It is town hall meeting. The church is the individual. But this place is our place of gathering. There is something you should do and you can do in the house of God. Don't come and you are, in Jesus' name, amen. Shall we share the grace? Amen. And you are off. Be useful in God's vineyard. You might not be called into the fivefold ministry. You might not even be spiritually gifted. But you can stand as a coordinator. You can pick, you can sweep. Sanitation is there. The seats you are seated on this morning, you only came and sat on it. People were here that cleaned the seats before you came to church. That is work. People arranged these seats before you came here. You can do something. See, you should be worried when you are not useful in God's vineyard. You should be. You should be worried when you are not useful in God's vineyard. You can sing. You can play an instrument. You want us to be looking for you and begging you with money in the congregation. Why not come and use it to serve God? Be useful in God's vineyard. Be useful in God's vineyard. Blessings are attached to it. Are we together? Don't fold your hands. Empowerment key seven. Brethren, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says what? Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. If we will be fruitful, we must also separate from wrong company. There's an adage that says, the adage is very interesting to me. It says, if you are working with a man that is saying abroad, abroad, everything abroad, 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 you too, you soon start saying what? Abroad, abroad. People transfer spirit. Show me your friends and I will tell you who you are. By the company you keep, I can tell who you are or who you want to be. If you are serious minded, separate from wrong company. Some people now are already resolving in their hearts that, oh, I'll be serious in God's house. I will give to the work of the Lord. Separate from anybody that will come and tell you otherwise. Some of us talk of a friendly friend. It is not until that friend takes your clothes or your shoe to a witch doctor that the friend becomes unfriendly. Unfriendly friend might be that friend that loves you but is not seeing what you are seeing, not going the way you are going. like Lot to Abraham. That was an unfriendly friend. God demanded separation. You might love me with your heart, but you are not seeing the vision I'm seeing. And if you are not seeing the vision I have, you will slow me down. So it is best we do what? Separate. If you must be blessed, you must separate from wrong company. Surround yourself with like-minded people. 6 billionaires are my friends. Who am I? I am the 7th billionaire. If I work with 6 billionaires, I feel no get nothing for account, but let me just be snapping picture with them. Anywhere they are, they're carrying me along. I'm telling you, people will think I'm one of them and will be looking for me to bless me. Because they feel, this, that. Separate from wrong company. Associate yourselves with right-minded people. Both within the church and outside the church. Because even inside the church, you have people that are not right-minded. Separate yourself from wrong company. Are we together? Empowerment key 8. Just drop 9 because of our time. Treat, this is for married people. Hey, brother, not so close your eyes. We are not talking to people like you. This is for married people. Treat your spouse well. A brother shared his experience with me and I agree because I've confirmed it. He said, when a child of God marries a daughter of God, it is like a commoner coming to marry the daughter of a big king or a president. You know, because of that daughter, that woman, that his wife, his condition will change. Now, this even lets you know, you singles, make sure you marry a child of God. That's for the single brothers and sisters. In your choice of a spouse, make sure, it might not be very well to do at the particular moment, but make sure you marry a child of God. But now we are talking to the spouse. Treat your spouse well. In 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7, talking about husband and wife, Apostle Peter was advising the married men to treat their spouse well. He said, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Now what? That your prayers be not hindered. Can you see it? When a home is not in unity, prayers can be hindered. If for the past 28 days you've been fasting and praying and you are not united with your spouse, it can hinder your prayers. Are we together? A key to our success, it is not just for men, even for women. We know most times the problem is from the men, but even some women don't treat their husbands well. If you must be blessed, you must treat your spouse well. Men, you must dwell with them according to knowledge. You cannot turn your wife to a punching bag and expect God to bless you. You cannot use your wife to be practicing abusive spoken words. All the time you are insulting her and expect God to bless you. You cannot be bitter towards your wife and expect God to bless you. Treat your spouse well. Women, you cannot disrespect and dishonor your husband and expect God to bless you. It is contrary. Some women are very selfish. You don't even care about the vision or the well-being of that man. It's just about you. And the man is just tolerating you. If such a woman is here, rethink. You are called to be a helper to the man. He is the visioner. You are only there to assist him. There cannot be two captains in one boat. Don't listen to nonsense teachings that make you think, I'm the woman right and rubbish. There can't be two captains in one boat. Many of us hinder our lives and progress because we don't treat our spouse well. All through year 2022, there are men here that did not take their wife out just once, even on the occasion of her birthday. You could not even buy her a gift or celebrate her, but on Christmas Day, you killed a goat. You too, you're a goat. Treat your spouse well. Your wife's birthday is more important than Christmas. Treat her well. Her birthday is a day to celebrate her. Wives too, treat your husbands well. Don't be on the receiving end alone. Every birthday, my wife surprises me. We don't come here to boast and be showing off. And my life is not on social media. I don't show off my personal life. Every birthday, my wife surprises me. What she will do this year will be different from what she did last year. Every birthday. I don't know if Sister Joy and Sister Nonso is here. The last one, they saw it. It was a working day, a Tuesday, where she came to my office with a beautiful clothes for me. I did not pay for it. I didn't know when she bought it. I didn't know when she took my measurement. And I was just swept off my feet. So you can do the same for your husband. Treat your spouse well. Treat your spouse well. It is an avenue to receive blessings. Another key. Empowerment key 9. Take it to professional advice. Why I included this is most especially because of medical advices. God expects us to take care of this body he has given us. When you are sick, you can't serve God appropriately. When you are sick, you can't enjoy certain blessings from God. And many of us, our sicknesses are not things beyond our control. They are actually things that we allowed. Every day you are drinking Coke. Every day, Coke. How many cubes of sugar? Every day you are drinking Coke. Tomorrow now, if you are diagnosed with diabetes, you say, powers from your father's house. It's not powers from your father's house. It's powers from the bottle of Coke. Are we together? Take it to professional advice. Praise the living God. Don't be too faith-filled and believing that you cannot follow certain natural principles for your own good. Our pastor will come here and talk of divine health. Divine health. And some of us will think it's a special anointing. Yes, God blessed him with it. But you know the natural laws he follows. You heard him. He cannot remember for how many years now he has been eating once a day. How many of us can do it? Regularly, he takes lemon water. And he taught me that. I started practicing it also. Take it to medical advices. Not everything is arrow. You are feeling somehow. Instead of you to go and check up, you say, nah, attack. Somebody will be purging. You say, God is cleansing you. God is cleansing what? So spiritual cleansing is by physical purging. Ah! Who do you this? God is not cleansing you anything. You have an infection in your stomach. Go and treat it. You are purging. You say, God is cleansing you. God is cleansing you. Let me give you loperamide. It will stop the purging. Then you tell me the cleansing has finished. Take it to professional advice, especially medical advices, including security advices. Praise the living God. Including security advice. Take it. Because if you endanger yourself or arm yourself in any way, you cannot see. Satan looked at Jesus. He said, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down. And he started quoting scriptures to the Lord Jesus. He said, he will give his angels charge over you. They will bear you up. What did Jesus say? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I cannot be living my life in a way to arm myself and I'll be confessing positive confession that nothing will happen to me. I'm a child of God. It's a lie. In so doing, I'm tempting God. Let's take it to professional advices, especially medical advices. This generation, there are things you should have stopped. There are things you should have stopped. You should not be drinking soft drink every day. You know the effect of those things. Some of us take energy drinks all the time. I saw a video of the effect of energy drink. There are things you should stop. These are things you should stop. These are things we should stop. So that you will not be stressing the deliverance minister. Why is your own case not going? He bind you. He cast you. He poured 3 bottles of anointing oil on you. you are still there. Then it is now as if the man of God is not anointed. Brother Levi, we are anointed. It's not lack of anointing. It's presence of stupidity. Stop doing things that will harm you. Take it to medical advice. Coke every day. Two times, coke has turned to water. You know what you're causing yourself. Medical advice includes don't live a sedentary life. Try to be active. Always. It will help you. I wish that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospers. There are medical advices for good health. Let us follow them. And the Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. So with these few points of mine, I hope I've been able to share with us some empowerment keys. These are keys that will help us to live a fruitful life here on earth. Don't be too spiritual. Don't forget you are still living in your natural body. Your body is still subjected to the law of nature. Are we together? Even the Lord Jesus that had all the Holy Spirit in him, the Bible said he was tired. That was why he slept in the boat. Jesus told his disciples, you have come back from crusade. Fine. Come apart and rest for a little while. Jesus told his disciples to rest. So what is that teaching us? No matter how spiritual we are still subjected to natural laws. And these keys, these principles are there to help us enjoy our physical life. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I doubt there's any question. This is not mystery. Ah. Okay, mommy has a question. Let's hear mommy. Mommy, this is not mystery. This is not book of Revelations. Okay. Let's hear mommy first.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I will say I'm really blessed by this.
I'll put your hands together for that.
But there's for those I'm talking about first fruits.
Okay.
Those in the school industry. How do they pay first fruit? For instance, you know how money comes. Children come to pay school fees. Maybe, perhaps, the new intakes. Okay. Inside the new intakes, there's usually a bill that has many components.
You are right.
School fees, school uniforms, so on and so forth.
How do you
pay first fruit on that?
Okay.
And also, how do you pay tithe on that? Because all the money is not yours. Inside that, the teacher's salaries, all the...
Okay, let's use scriptures to answer. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. There's something I want to point out in Proverbs 3, 9. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Bless the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thy increase. When you have new intakes, it is an increase. Of course, you are only to pay teacher salary are part of the expenses. So you can't pay from your cost of production. You pay from your profits. When you have settled everybody, what comes to you as the proprietors of the school? That is what you tithe from. And if it is from the new intake, that is what you pay your first fruit from. After you have settled everybody, teachers, drivers, cleaners, they are all part of the cost of production. So you cannot touch their money and pay from it. The income that gets to your hand, that is profit to you, that is what you pay first fruit from. Praise the living God. Okay, Brother Nicholas has a question.
Praise the Lord. Sorry, just to add to, listen, first fruit is from the first investment. The school is your business. You will pay first fruit only when you start that school. You have just started the business of that school. whatever income, the school fees that first come in, whatever it is, you take part of it and give as your first fruit. Thereafter, no more first fruit. Every year, the children are coming, new intakes are coming, everybody is coming. It's continuation of that business. It's only tithe now. You'll be paying.
Amen. That's all. That's from the professor of divine studies.
Praise the Lord.